listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
I didn't know he just wanted to eat the fucking rats. I thought he wanted to have fun.
His name is Bentivenia. He worships a god that they call Hanio. Upon a horse-sized tortoise. I have burns and it hurts when you do that.
What's your name anyways? You turn a bit perfect.
7 days away from the Avon Castillo, there's a blacksmith that works for them that I'm keen to give work when I can. Oftentimes I trust other people as well.
I assure you, you can trust us because there's gold involved.
Why does he keep his armor on?
Oh, he can't take it off.
Is his skin stuck to it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
It's a sign we're on the right path and no one should bother us tonight.
But if we are going to be a table together, for as long as I want us to be a table together, I think it would be cool if each of you Just tried it. Ran a one-shot. Because it makes you a better player when you understand not only the work, but the processes that a DM goes through on the other side of the screen. Alex, I think you would agree that, you know, once you played and then you DM'd and then you played again, you kind of picked up on some stuff that, you know, makes you a better player. And I've heard that a lot. So I think it would be a good idea if at some point everybody took their turn behind this screen. Doesn't have to be D&D. Could be Delta Green. Could be anything else. But just to get that experience under your belt, and it would be refreshing for other people at the table because, yeah, you guys might be happy with me as a DM, but it would be a different experience. And that, too, even as a player playing with a different DM, would give you better experience as a player, I think. That was my rant. I think we should all play under Alex at 1.2. Not because I want to play and not because I want to get out from behind the screen, but I think that it would be beneficial for everybody else at the table. And I think it would be beneficial for me to be a player for a little bit because I've never been a player, so I don't know what it's like on the other side of this screen. So it might give me a little bit of, more experience in that regard too, to make me a better DM at the end of the day. I think it's beneficial for everyone. And I think we should play more games that aren't D&D all the time. But we're playing D&D now. Next week, I have a package that's going to be delivered to me containing a tabletop role-playing game called Mothership. I'm very, very excited about this tabletop role-playing game, and I really want to play it. And I'm not going to play with you guys just because we don't have the time. I really, really want to play D&D, super invested in this campaign, but I bought it for a reason, and I really want to play that, and it seems really, really fun. So I think I might have the other table play that. Might force him to. And also, at the end of the day, ranting's not over, by the way. I know it seemed like I was, you know, coming down the hill off the roller coaster. We're still doing it. Still going to do it. If tomorrow I said that we weren't playing D&D and we're playing fucking Starfinder instead, what are you going to do? Not show up?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that. I doubt that. If tomorrow I sent a text in the group chat, I said, and I was real, like, sob story about it, like, I'm experiencing DM burnout, and I just can't simply do this anymore. I need to play something fresh, need to play something different. You'd show up to the table next week, and we'd play Starfinder.
No, we'd have Alex run the rest of the campaign. We'd kick you out.
I don't think you got the guts for it. That's what I wanted to talk about.
I mean, I would give it a try. I don't know.
I know the fuck you would. I know the fuck you would.
Oh my God.
No, not that I wouldn't try another game. Just the fact, I wouldn't want to give up on this 15 sessions in.
No, and I'm in love with where we are.
Yeah.
I don't want this happened because I watched a video. This conversation is occurring because I watched a video. This has nothing to do with my mental state or anything like that. I have been having the most fun writing as possible, and I think that it might be, you might be able to even feel it when we're playing. Like, I'm having genuine fun DMing this. And I remember when we were ending and wrapping up LFPCU, I said it over and over. I was like, I fucking hate D&D, and I do hate D&D, And I realized one of the reasons I hate D&D is that it is a game system that is trying to reference five other game systems. This is the fifth edition to D&D, so instead of the rules being straightforward and making sense, you have shit like, oh, well, you know, your score is 3 to 18, but actually, you know, it's minus 3 to plus 5 on your modifiers and your blah, 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 blah. No other game is like that. Delta Green isn't like that. Pathfinder is like that because it's also based on previous editions of D&D. But D&D in itself is just trying to do callbacks to previous editions. That's why I don't like it, because the rules are stupid. Regardless. Moving on. Burying that. Sticking it deep.
How long
deep
was
down
that campaign you guys did with, like, Paul? How long? How many sessions was that?
40? 40, 46?
Over what, was it, like, long? Yeah. Was it, year. Like, longer sessions than these?
Yeah, much,
I imagine
much.
It was.
Yeah, they were, like, 4-hour sessions.
Just curious. I remember hearing a lot about that one.
Well, you joined, like, it near the end. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
holy shit.
That
yeah,
was the one
yeah.
that you joined near the end. You were there for two sessions.
Yeah, yeah, like two or three.
Any other comments on any of that shit before we get into a recapitulation? I think it would be a really, really good idea for you guys to DM at some point in your lives. Like I said, not this year, not next year, whenever, just at some point. Get behind the table. It is experience that is worth its weight in gold. It will make you a better player. And it's fun. It's really fun. Even if you don't think that you would derive enjoyment from it, you do. You would. Can I please have a recap of the last session? Anybody can remember the name of that fucking beast? I'll give you a point of inspiration. It was long.
Pastanacarecra.
Holy shit! Right, Jesus Christ! Hell yeah!
Pastanacarecra.
Alright, go ahead. Take your point of inspiration. So, as the sharp sun casts its illumination on the sea of a desert you find yourselves in, your sixth day of travel within the Grand Erg has begun. Breaking camp and beginning onward, the marching order is the same as it's been. Bentivenia at the lead atop Tuga, Asan and his ox cart, and pulled camels in the middle, and your cart, put along by the steadfast Turnip, taking up the rear. This sixth day of travel has just begun. What do you guys want to do, if anything? I'm assuming that Rook is still manning the reins here. And Honto, unless you specify otherwise, I'm assuming constantly that you are walking alongside the cart, keeping pace. Mm-hmm. Maybe even at some points going up a little further, you know, coming back down. But again, I want to ask on this travel, as you guys are beginning to make your way back down on the chalk road, anything that you guys want to do specifically?
No, besides just as, I mean, I know it's mostly desert, but if there's like big cliffs or like big mountains, sketching them on that map that I've been making.
Okay, Arthur Morgan style?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then Kree, is there anything specific that you're doing?
No, just hanging out for the ride.
Passing time.
Nothing in particular.
You're in the back of the cart, right?
Yep.
Okay. Time passes, the sun slowly shifting in the sky, making its way an hour, two, three, and the wagon in front of you, Asan's wagon, stops. Peeking over, you can see that ahead of Asan, Bentivenia too has stopped. Far in the distance, the land here, at this point in your journey, the terrain is fairly flat, so you can see ahead on this chalk road quite, quite far. A ways away, you can see what looks like something obstructing the path ahead. It's tough to tell exactly what it is. Bentivenia dismounts off of Tuga. Just kind of looks like he's taking a look.
I'll like on all fours, you know, run up with Bentivenia, try and scope it out with him.
Okay, go ahead and roll perception.
Can I try and, like, squint from afar to see if I can make anything out?
Yeah, go ahead and roll me perception with disadvantage, just because I know the sunlight is not your best friend.
16.
Can
I take out my telescope?
Do you have a telescope?
No.
8.
8. You're not able to make anything out, Kree. Honto, you can make out maybe some figures. It looks like maybe a cart or two. Again, like I'm saying, it's pretty far. And then you hear Asan's voice from behind you say, "Looks like a wagon. Two people, maybe two wagons. We need to get a little bit closer." Turn around and you can see that he actually has a collapsible telescope in his hands. He
manifested it.
Compresses it, smacks it together, and it folds in on itself, and he puts it inside his overall pocket and looks towards you. It's the only way forward.
I look to Bentivenia. Shall we?
Regular walking speed.
Yes, sir. I give him a wink.
He doesn't react, and just you start to hear before you actually, you know, recognize it, heavy footfalls as he begins walking forward. What's everyone else do?
Is it we're moving at a slower pace now?
No, it just seems like at this point Asan has stopped. Bentivenia and Honto are approaching slowly.
Okay, then I'll get out. Probably up to his turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Wait there.
Kind of take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Honto, you are met with Bentivenia. You guys are closing the gap. A couple paces, a couple more. Maybe walk 30 or so yards before it becomes more clear exactly what this is. It looks like two wagons are stopped, and there's two figures that are having a discussion on the road. One of the carts looks to be in pretty rough shape, and it's being pulled by a creature I'm not sure that you're familiar with. Can you roll nature for me? Or animal handling, whichever you prefer. It is a scaled beast that runs on two legs. There are four of them. You know them as velociraptors.
There are four velociraptors.
What?
And they are
attached with harnesses to this more rough, beat-up looking cart. The other cart looks a little bit nicer, but still not great. It looks like it's being pulled by two camels. Two figures are having a discussion. One of them looks fat. The other one looks skinny and shorter.
Can I tell their race?
You may need to get a little bit closer because the skinny figure looks like it's wearing some pretty longer robes. Bentivenia looks over to you. Just kind of like shrugs and you hear the creak of his armor.
We are just looking to pass. We will ask them if we could use the road. That is all.
He nods.
Have you seen... I flick my head at the velociraptor.
He looks at it. Yeah. Or at least something like it.
Just don't be nervous. I give him a ginger pat on the shoulder.
You hear this hollow clink as he kind of like straightens up his posture and he begins to step forward.
Yeah, go with him.
Closing the distance, it becomes much more clear exactly what this scene is. These two figures, one of which is decidedly human, he looks pretty overweight, pretty chunky, he's got tan skin. He's holding up what looks like maybe like a wind chime or something up in the air. And you're not close enough to make out the specifics of the conversation, but it does seem pretty heated as this fat guy is just holding up this wind chime, putting it down, shaking his hands, making some noise. This other figure you're able to see much more clearer now, this skinny, shorter one. It looks like it is a humanoid lizard of a race known as lizard folk, scaled, and you can see his reptilian features peeking out from under this tanned-looking hood.
Can I discern the person that owns the shittier wagon and the person that owns the nicer one?
Based off of the clothing that they're both wearing, you would imagine that the shittier wagon is being owned by this lizard folk person.
Okay.
Based off of their, you know, raggedy cloak that they're wearing. Getting closer, it looks like this conversation is not hostile, but it seems like they're haggling or bartering. The fat human kind of raises his head and looks over towards you as you're still maybe say 20 or so yards away.
Hello. My name is Honto. I'm escorting a merchant. We are just trying to pass through. Will you be finished here soon, or should we go around, or...
What merchant? What's his name?
I look at Bentivania.
Bentivania just kind of, like, looks to you. See, here's the thing. First of all, body language is not Bentivania's strong suit, and you kind of got that vibe from, you know, spending time with him. And additionally, any kind of face he would make completely obscured by his armor. So you just have this armored, you know, face just kind of like looking at you.
Go on, speak up. We're equals here, aren't we? And I give him a wink.
And he kind of turns his head. The merchant's name is Hassan. And the fat guy nods his head, slaps his belly, looks over towards the lizard folk. The lizard folk just like looks up at him, and you can see this lizard folk now, just like these beady, beady eyes. Fat guy looks over.
You can tell Hassan that Hammy's here.
I haven't seen him in a while. I'd like to talk to him. Looks like jovial, kind of like this smile.
That is your name?
That's my name, yeah.
Okay. I turn back.
So you turn around, Bentivania hangs for a second or two, and then you hear like the squeak of his boots. Bentivania turns too, and then once your guys' backs are turned, you hear them start to kind of like argue a little bit. It's definitely something over the price of something. It seems like they're haggling. You guys make your way back. Bentivania kind of looking over his shoulder every once in a while back at this scene. You're making your way up.
I approach Hassan.
Yep, closing the distance, approaching Hassan. Anyone doing anything during this this whole thing, which has probably taken about 5 or so minutes so far?
If I see him approaching Hassan, I want to like hop off the cart. Hassan's not on the cart with us, is he?
No.
Okay, yeah, I want to hop off and like kind of meet them kind of with Hassan in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Close the distance. Hassan kind of like leans over. What is it?
Well, if you were using that tool to see, that fellow says he knows you. Do you know him?
I can't make out anything much more than just shapes.
His name was Hammy.
I don't know. What were they selling?
I don't know. I look at Bentivania.
Shrugs. He was holding a wind chime. Hassan kind of like rubs his eye. Jigik sells wind chimes in this area. Oh, I guess that's his cart. He must have lost his other one. He had the velociraptors up there.
Yes.
Lizard. His name is Jigix. Yeah. Yeah. We'll close the distance, have a conversation, and I guess I'll just handle it. Just, follow me. We can bring the carts up. It doesn't matter. They're harmless. Let's go.
Okay.
What do you guys do?
Going.
Get on?
Yeah.
Keep going. Follow. Walk beside it.
Slowly approaching the scene. The two figures both look like they have returned to their respective carts, but not in any capacity to move them or drive them. Just seems like they're just kind of like digging through the back. As you're coming up, you see the fat guy come out, show the little lizard guy something, and little lizard guy goes back in his cart, pulls something out, shows the fat guy something. By the time that you guys close the distance, looks like Hassan hops off, steps up to the two of them, and begins having a conversation out of earshot of you guys. Bentivania seems to be keeping a watchful look around. What are you guys doing?
There's no way to move around them where they're at? They're
no,
taking
it
up
seems
hole.
Like they're taking up the entirety of the space here. And the dunes are risen on either side. It would be not impossible to traverse on this soft sand. It may be difficult for the ox. But it looks like Hassan is having a conversation with the two of them, and they have his full attention. About a minute goes by.
Yeah, I'm just keeping a keen watch
on that interaction.
Same.
The fat figure, the fat human, makes his way over to his own cart, pulls something out, and begins showing it to Hassan. Hassan looks at it, picks it up. You can see it looks like a bag of something. You're not sure. Another moment passes before Hassan starts making his way back to you guys. He's still got this bag in his hand. Closes the distance, looking towards you guys, and says, "They're merchants. Hammy is going back to Kincaidin. Jigix, he's going south, off the beaten path to the Ebon Mines. He says that there's a orcish camp that may have been erected there. Perhaps the Cracked Mesa clan, he thinks. Regardless, they're not going in the direction that we're going, but they wanted me to ask if you would like to peruse either their wares before they do disembark."
I'll go take a look.
As he's talking, he's putting this bag that he was given in the back of his wagon.
Yeah, I start walking over.
Yeah, I'll walk over.
Walk over. The two figures seem kind of happy at your approach. At least the fat guy does. Kind of smacks the underside of his belly. The lizard folk is being a little weird. Kind of like eyeing around a little bit. He seems pretty jittery. He's tightening up the reins on his velociraptors that you guys now see at this point. It is quite literally the dinosaur. Two-legged, fanged, clawed creature. There's four of them. Probably about, like, say 5 or so feet tall.
They seem, like, real hostile, or are they just chilling there?
No, they're chilling there. They're pretty, you know, relaxed. For the sake of brevity, interactions with these two traveling merchants are friendly, and they do not seem particularly hostile. If you are interested in perusing their wares, they are more than excited to show you them. The fat man, who refers to himself as Hammy, sells alchemical and apothecary supplies, specifically reagents, as well as some, you know, alchemist supplies, brewer's tools, herbalism kits, general stuff like that. The lizard guy's a fucking creep, though. You see, now at this point, his wagon, and he introduces himself as Jigix, is completely, like, not mismatched, but cobbled together. It looks like there's like 4 different types of wood that are made to, you know, connected to make this cart, and the actual canopy that lies over it is just patchwork. Really, really shoddy craftsmanship. There's nails sticking out there, rusted. He has a slew of random things. You see basically what looks like a junk pile in the back of his thing, but the big thing that he does have a lot of seem to be various mirrors. Some of them look like they're framed, some of them don't have any kind of frame in them, and wind chimes. And you can hear them before you see them as you're approaching his cart. Some look like they're made of wood, other ones look like they're whittled from bone. But if you were interested in anything that he's selling, you would probably have to dig through them, all of this stuff, to actually find anything worth any value.
Can I ask about the regents? the other cart?
Yeah, so the fat guy. What do you ask specifically?
Like, if he's got... Like, I really just at first just want to take, like, a general look, and, like, if he has anything to explain. Like, oh, this one does this, or, oh, this one's just good for your heart kind of shit. Like,
so it doesn't look like there are any kind of specific potions, but if you are kind of perusing, he leans over and kind of, like, puts his big fat hand on your shoulder. So all sorts of different reagents, specifically coming out of Fort Chasm. There's feathergrass and iron root. Bloodvine, it's for potion makers that I have set up back in Kincaidin. If you're interested in anything else, I sell different acids, antitoxins, supplies if you need a perfume, if you'd like. This is all coming back to Kincaidin, but if I can lift, you know, some of the weight off of my camels now, I'd be more than happy.
Do you have any kits on you by any chance? Any type of kit?
I have herbalism kits. I could probably set you up with a alchemist supply kit, brewer's kit, but I only have 2 of those. One is promised to somebody back in Kincaidin. you can see him now, and being closer to this guy, he's got this, like, patchy-looking beard, but he's wearing pretty nice, like, clothes. Like, not silk, but maybe, like, satin, something nice, flowy. Looks like the air's getting to him. His big gut hanging over this buckled belt.
No, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Sure. Any of you interested in anything?
Where you reckon you're gonna be setting up when you take this,
The silt marks.
Huh. Yeah, maybe I'll give it a look when we're back.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm okay.
The lizard hasn't said a word other than when he introduced himself in, like, this kind of shrill, creaky voice. Rook, you feel a poke in your back.
Okay. Do I check? Yeah.
Turn around?
Yeah.
It looks like it is this lizard folk, like I mentioned, reptilian face. He's got this... It looks like he's wearing, like, a sewn-together burlap sack. He's got his hood up. He's looking at you, and he's much shorter than you, and he's got something in his hand. And he's kind of looking down as he's holding it up. It looks like it is a wooden carving of what looks like a saguaro cactus. A straight cactus sticking up and with one branch kind of going up and then making a 90 degree turn and going up as well.
Oh. What's this?
He looks up at you.
Silver. One silver.
Does it do anything?
No.
Is it good luck? Where'd it come from? Is it magic?
I just start bombarding more questions.
No. No, yes. No. It's not magic. Craftsman made it. One silver.
I put it in my bag and I flick him once over.
He fumbles with it and it, like, clinks off of one of his claws, and he catches it with the other one and sticks it in his pocket.
Do you want toys?
No, I'm good with this. Thank you very much.
Standing in silence, Asan closes the distance with his cart, Bentivenia on the tortoise ahead of him. Asan looks out from his cart and says, "Are we ready? Can we go?"
Let's go.
Let's move. Go. A moment passes before the two figures get back in their carts, and rather quickly, these velociraptors get fast. They immediately skitter up one of the dunes, and this cart, just with these rickety wheels, shoots right up the edge of the dune, crashes down below, and it seems like they head off pretty fast off the way. Fat guy's still sitting on his cart. He's got his two camels ahead of him. Kind of whips the reins and begins clopping next to you guys and kind of going in the opposite direction as you guys. Before he passes, he does look to his son, and you guys, even from the distance you are, can hear this conversation. He mentions, he says, "Listen, Asan, there's something up ahead, maybe about an hour or so up the road where you're heading. I don't know what it was. I think it was a warforged, but it was sitting on the side of the road. Just keep an eye out." Asan just nods, doesn't say anything, and keeps it pushing. This figure passes you guys on his cart too. The two camels walk past. Both these figures now out of view, or at least Hammy is probably, you know, you can still see him if you turn around. What do you guys do?
Just keep going.
Yeah. Continuing on. An hour passes, and then another. The dunes that were risen on the side of this road seem to subside, and the land returns to a pretty flat area. Everybody roll perception.
12.
10. 17. Eight. 17. Rook, guiding Turnip through, you see... And I would imagine, it kind of fits, You see, off to the right, maybe 50 or so yards away, there is what looks like a figure. And you recognize it as, similar to the servants at the chain restaurant, is a warforged.
Mm.
It's not sitting, it's not, you know, standing still. It seems to be walking and kind of dragging its hand in the sand. It stops for a moment, picks up a chunk of the sand, and just kind of like drops it through his fingers. At this point, you're the only person who's noticed it.
It picked up the sand with the hand that it's dragging?
No, it kind of drags its hand in the sand, or does it, picks the up some sand, like... and then pick it back up and drop. He's not dragging a hand, okay. He is dragging his own hand through the sand.
I make it known to whoever's closest to me, anybody that's in the cart with me.
Probably be what, Levi and Kree?
Yeah.
In the cart. I just kind of like nudge them and then like point.
Yeah. There's a slightly increased amount of vegetation in this area as well. You see some brushes and mesquite trees. No foliage, no green, but a lot of dried brush. Spread about. This figure just kind of slowly walking through the sand, dragging his hand, picking up some sand, dropping it, taking two or three steps, doing the same thing.
Any grass?
No.
It's just, like, sticks?
Yeah. Brushes.
Didn't Tuga say he liked sticks?
Psst! Hondo!
Psst. I give you a dirty, I'm being quiet, smirk and kind of walk my way over, you know, next to the car as we're going.
Yeah, and I kind of, like, whisper to you.
Can you grab me some sticks, please?
I can grab you some sticks.
Just a couple of sticks. Also, look over there.
Pointing out, you do see the figure that he has seen, this warforged walking through the sands, picking up sand.
Good eyes. I'll get your sticks.
Weird.
Is there brush and sticks on the side he's not on?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to that side.
Yep.
Yeah.
Making your way there and just kind of like ripping some shrubbery off.
Yeah, I got a good amount too.
Okay. Like a...
like a nice like...
bundle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big bundle.
Yep. You got that.
Did you give them to me?
Yeah.
I just keep them in the cart for now.
Stick them in the back of the cart. Continuing on. Another hour passes. Two past that. Three on top of that. 6 hours. Sun getting lower. Until the sun sets. 2 hours past that. Maybe more. The sun gets low, and Asan kind of nods off to the side. Tuga and Bentavenya make their way off to the side, and they begin to set up camp. Anything that you guys want to do at this night of camp?
Just want to pray a little bit before bed. Before Betty buys, just want to say a little prayer.
I'm going to bring Tuga a stick and see if he likes it.
Kind of sniffs it.
Just one.
Bites it. Starts chewing on it. And you can hear like the crunching, and he's got no teeth, so it's just like snapping. It's falling to the ground in the sand, and he's digging in the sand, grabbing it, and crunching it again, and it looks like he's eating it.
I ask him how it is.
How is it?
It's pretty good. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
And while he is busy eating said brush, I give the rest of the pile of sticks to Benti, and I say, he likes it.
He looks down at it and nods, looks up, and you can see his eyes from beneath his visor. Thank you.
No problem.
I'm gonna do the same, meditate and
paint.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want
to
do?
I want to turn to Asan if we're all sitting around.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, the cold chill is kind of starting to creep in, and the sand's getting kicked up a little bit. Asan pokes the fire that he made with, he looks like he's got this metal fire poker, and just kind of situates it. He's leaning back after he ate, looking up at the stars.
Is there like levels to the merchant business? The class A, if you'd say, for the different merchants? I'm talking about your buddy, the reptile.
Oh, yeah, he is a, I would not say that he is a member of the Merchant's Guild. I do not think he is officially ranked. Jigix has given me no problems. If you get to know him, he's quite friendly. Internally, yes, the merchants do have rankings amongst themselves, I'm sure. But we also do, some of us, belong to a guild.
Other guy, big guy. He good people?
Fat Hammy. No, he's not good people. He waters down his tinctures and other practices I wouldn't necessarily approve of. I trust him, but I wouldn't buy anything from him, no.
You didn't think of warning the group before you...
I would have intervened if I saw any kind of commerce take place, but I didn't want to insult him immediately.
We're not worried about you in that same regard, are we? Nobody's out to get you for cutting a couple corners.
He just kind of like looks at you.
All I'm saying, it's good to know your enemy.
I have none other than whatever roams this land, whatever wants to take from me. I've done no ill to anyone.
Good to know, good to know.
And what of you?
Nobody around these parts. Ain't nobody looking for me.
In these parts.
Where we're headed.
What about where we came from?
I don't have a reason to believe, but you never know. Everybody's got vendettas. Everybody's got a reason.
I think most of the time a person would know if they had a vendetta against them.
Till you don't.
Perhaps. You don't strike me as a typical member of the Adventurers Guild. I do not think.
Danny, my compatriots?
Whether coincidence or not, no, I don't believe so. It's refreshing.
I don't mean to speak for these guys, but I think we all take that as a compliment.
Take it how you will. Doesn't make it any less true. But you seem fine folk.
I head off for bed.
Bed down. Night ends uneventfully as you awake in the morning. The start of the seventh day. Now, I hate to pull a surprise on you all, but the next 3 days end uneventfully. Quiet travel, the whistle of the wind that scrapes the sand, no travelers. The only thing, and I will get to any, if you guys want to do anything on, you know, during this time, several times on this 3 day continuation of your journey, you run into something in the sand, attached on a pole made of metal. You find them on 5 separate occasions across these 3 days. It seems to be a banner. It is on tattered red cloth and has what looks like maybe a trapezoid on it. It looks hand-painted, almost finger-painted. You see it the first time, see it the second time, third, fourth, and fifth. It becomes more frequent that you see this banner hanging just somewhere in the sand. Sometimes it's directly next to the road, sometimes it's off a little bit, maybe at max 15 or so yards off of the main road. The later in these 3 days we get, the more often you guys see them. You saw the first one the first day, you saw two on the second day, and then, you know, you saw another two pretty close together on the third.
Can we identify the banner at all, or is it truly just so tattered that we can't tell?
Roll history. Or investigation, they'll both tell you different things.
Nat 20. I'll say history.
This is definitely... Okay, you would say, based off of the fact that the... specifically, the metalworking is what kind of makes you, you know, get your gears rolling. The metalworking on the pole that this banner is attached to seems to be orcish in nature. Specifically, the blacksmithing techniques. You can see, like, bend marks and pull marks of working this metal that you associate with the way that orcs tend to work their metal. Additionally, the banner itself is very simple, also indicative of some sort of orcish tribe, perhaps, but you're not able to pinpoint the one that it may be. Whether that be because you do not have experience in orcish tribes, or if this is one that you simply don't recognize, either way, the answer is the same. You're not able to identify it. The other thing that you do come away with is it doesn't look like these have been burnt or damaged in any way, as if they've been put out here intentionally with this tattered cloth.
I turn and I say to the group, what orcish gland did they talk about earlier? I don't recall. Is it up this way? Because these are orcish banners.
I thought you said it was in the mines. It's not this direction, right, Levi?
Nah, I mean that's that'd be like south of here, so. It ain't too far off, but who you talking about? The fellas, the fellas we help.
Yeah, the folks are no, not those folks. The ones that we just helped earlier, or talked to earlier. The Hammy, did they not mention something about an orcish clan?
Not me.
They said something, dude. They said something, dude.
I'm not going to give you keen mind because you weren't there for that conversation.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. That was just a look to make sure I wasn't stupid and forgetting something. Okay.
I turn to Hassan. What did you hear about the orcish clan?
He turns over and kind of like taking his eyes off the road. Jigex was traveling south to the Ebon Mines that an orcish clan was planning to clear it out or renovate it or something. It's far from us.
I see. I turn back. I'm like, oh, okay. Regardless, this is... orcish is what this is.
I've never seen this symbol before on anything else we've dealt with. No. Since we've been here the last couple weeks.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say this conversation probably occurs halfway through the second day. Continuing on, making your way, making camp, waking up that third day, like I mentioned, it also ends uneventfully, seeing more of these banners. Few and far between, you know, maybe once every 4 or so hours you may see one. But it is dead on this road, there is nothing. Vegetation is getting a little bit more prevalent though, even to the point where you may see some shrubbery, may see some greenery. Specifically poignant when Hassan decides to break camp for this night. This would be the, you know, ninth night. Hassan breaks off into what looks like a small, not grove, but a collection of trees that do have some greenery on them. This short, stout tree that looks almost like a bush. Think like a bonsai tree, how it's kind of very, very tight, curls around itself. A couple of them scattered about, as well as some dry brush. And what looks like a cactus, kind of standing off to the side, short, stout, and fat. Hassan, much the same as he has every other night, begins to erect a fire. Settle up.
So, sorry. Yep. So there's more vegetation here than...
than you've seen so far.
Okay.
Yep.
I want to do a little bit of, you know... scouting and try and set up some traps, you know, a little like a forage for, I mean, I have, you know, any like, if there's vegetation at all, you know, just see, scope the area, see okay. If I can do anything.
Go ahead and roll me a survival check with advantage because you're in the motherfucking Grand Erg, baby.
Twelve.
You're able to set some traps that you feel confident that if you check them in the morning may bear some fruit. The other thing that is noticeable to you is as you're going through, and the hunter, as much as he told you like hunting techniques, he also sprinkled in some gathering techniques as well. You know that certain cactus bear certain fruit, normally around this time in the season, but you do not find any.
Seems picked.
Maybe. You're not sure. But you set those traps up, I'd say you maybe set up, you have like two spots that you feel pretty confident are a good spot to set up the traps. Feel like if you check them in the morning, you'll know for sure.
Okay.
Anything else anyone wants to do at camp?
Hey, Cree.
Yes.
Just wondering. If you ever, if we turn back and you got your hands on that, that Captain Hollow, how'd you have killed him?
Just like anyone else with my sword.
Just walk right out and do it to him?
Probably.
Well, maybe we should have let you. I'm just thinking about that kid. Probably eating by now.
Probably.
Yeah. Sad, sad, sad. Maybe one day we'll get him.
I mean, if you guys want to. I address the party. I mean, if you guys want to, as soon as we get back, we could go back to the docks and we could... I don't know.
I ain't stopping a man from his mission, but just seems a little tough. I was just curious as all, let the mind wander. Right.
No, I trust me, I don't think that it's going to be easy at all, but I think that any living thing on this earth can and will die, and it's just a matter of when it happens and if we want to be a catalyst.
That's a hell of an attitude. One I like to be around. I go off to bed.
Everybody else bed down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Night takes you, waking in the morning. Asan breaks camp, and he looks at you guys as you're kind of, you know, cleaning up your stuff, and he says, "We are about 2 days from the Castillo. I thought we would be making better time. Hopefully, I would have hoped to arrive by today, but I guess we may have slowed down along the way. We're close, but I expect to get there tomorrow, maybe tomorrow afternoon." Saddle up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Making your way back down on the road. An hour passes before you see another one of those banners sticking out. This one closer to the road. Time passes. Sun shifting. Probably about midday. Beyond that, another hour. Two. Afternoon passes. You hear Bentivenia's voice from ahead. Something on the road again. Just hold back. Jumps off. He's looking at it for a while. Seems pretty, pretty far. Honto, are you still out of the carts at this point?
Yeah.
Roll perception for me.
Nat 20.
Nat 20. Maybe 150 yards up the road, it looks like there is a horse that is lying on its side. Halfway in the dunes, half on the road. Bentivenia's. Seems like he can't make out exactly what it is, and he's squinting, and he's like, is it a horse?
Yes, it's a horse. It's down. It's blocking the road a little. It's in the dunes, though.
Should be able to squeeze past it.
Can I, with that, can I also look at the dunes, like, around the horse? Do I see anything? Is there anything?
With a natural 20, from this distance, I will tell you that it seems that there's something else sticking out of the dunes, but there's no way to tell exactly what it is. Something small is sticking out of the dunes, along with whatever the bottom half of this horse.
I don't like the feeling of
this, Bendy. Let me get the others. We'll approach very cautiously.
We can all walk up, yeah.
I go back. I tell them, there's a horse. It's lying down in the road, but I think I saw something else in the dunes. I don't know. I think we should all go up and check it out as a group.
Do you think it could be an ambush?
I don't know. It just doesn't feel as right as, well, the cart we encountered with the family that was dead or the merchants traveling. I don't know. Let's go check it out.
Are there dunes on either side?
No, only on the one side.
Might be a dumb question, but does it look like... Is there any way to tell if this sand seems, like, perturbed? Is that the right word? Recently, like, maybe it's, like, a little bit different color that looks like it was, like... Or,
moved
like, not
recently?
Like, yeah, not in, like, a very compact shape.
I would say you would have to get a little bit closer. The dune... I want to say physiology... But, like, the shape of the dune looks pretty natural.
Okay.
But you would have to get closer to see if it has been recently disturbed.
Okay. Keep walking up?
Yeah.
Go back out with Bentivania.
Stepping up, meeting back up with Benty. We ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Approach cautiously. Begins walking up, closing the distance. 10, 20 yards, 30. Able to make out a little bit more. This definitely looks like a horse. Its back is facing you, and its bottom half, including its two bottom legs, or I suppose back legs, are wedged into the dune. Does not look to be breathing as you close some more distance, another 30 yards or so. Getting closer now, you're able to make out what that thing was that you saw sticking out of the dune as well. It looks like a metal hand, single metal hand, probably 10 or so feet away from this horse, just sticking out of the dune.
Like, well, for Honto, like similar to that dude that was dragging his hand, like a Warforged type of hand?
Maybe, yeah. Okay. Bentivania has his right hand on the pommel of his sword.
Rook, this guy ain't alive anymore, is he? I motion towards the horse.
Definitely dead. Or do I have to go up and check?
You would probably have to get up to check, unless you. Fuck, I didn't know
if you could.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how. I don't know how it would work.
If he could just.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Can I speak?
Yo, dickhead, you fucking dead.
I guess you can try.
Are you okay?
There's no response.
Do you need help? Don't think it's with us.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Thanks for trying.
Bentivania begins to walk a little bit closer. Probably now you guys are, say, maybe 90 feet away from this. Bentivania continues up, closing the distance 50, 30 feet. Getting closer.
Where's Asan?
Asan is all the way back at the cart.
Can we see if he has his...
You turn around and you can squint your eyes a little bit and you see him with the telescope, yeah. Spyglass, I guess, would be the correct verbiage. He continues on, Bentivania gets close, begins looking over the horse, and he's probably maybe like 15 feet from you guys, and he just kind of like freezes for a second looking at this horse. And he gets down on one knee and starts looking at it. Like I said, the way that this horse is positioned, you cannot see the, I suppose, bottom half. If the horse was standing normally, the belly, the face, stuff like that is like positioned away from you. The horse has its head turned, so you can only see the back of it and the mane, which all looks, you know, normal. Bentivania's down on his knees, just kind of like
taking a close look at this thing. What do you guys do?
Can I see now if that sand is...
Yeah, roll investigation.
Disturbed recently. Thirteen.
You're not sure, but the one thing that you notice is it does seem a little jagged, as if there's like carvings out of it. You feel like if it was disturbed recently, it would have been natural. Hmm. Perhaps the wind carved out of it or something like that. You're not sure. What do you guys know?
So Bentavenia's, like, he hasn't said anything yet, but he's looking at the horse.
Yep.
I'll walk right up to him. I want to see what he's looking at.
Getting close, looking at what Bentavenia is looking at, the horse does not appear wounded. However, in its face, down its neck, on its, like, chest, are shards and sheets of metal and wires and bolts. And its left eye looks to be completely gone, replaced instead with like this translucent red shiny thing. You're not sure. That's also encased in a chunk of metal. Bentavenia looks up at you on his knee.
Do I have any idea what, like, history, just in terms of, I guess, just general knowledge? Do I have any clue what I'm looking at?
Roll Arcana.
Ten.
You don't know. But based off of what you've seen of Warforged before, it looks like bits and pieces of what compose a Warforged. Medically or surgically inserted into this horse. But it's unmoving and it's not breathing.
Is there still a hand sticking out from the sand?
Yeah. What are the rest of you three doing?
Hanto still feels sus for some reason, because he, like, committed to feeling sus. So, he's gonna, I don't know, maybe, like, go up the dune a little bit, and, mm-hmm. like, away from it, and just scope out the area.
Okay, roll perception.
22.
Doesn't look like there's anyone hidden, no good spots to hide behind anyway. Looking further up the road, extends and winds. You don't see anything. Levi Rook.
Just staying in the cart.
Oh, they went up on foot. Did you stay back at the cart?
Yeah, I'm in the cart.
Oh, so you didn't even come up with them.
Is anyone else behind with me? Or is it
Asan,
everyone?
Asan.
Yeah, I'm with Asan.
Okay.
No, I walk up with Kree to this hand buried in the dune.
And you also see, as you get close to look at the hand at the dune, the horse that I described.
Can I see what the red thing is in this eye?
Roll Arcana. With advantage.
How far away am I?
120 yards.
17.
I thought we were doing this in feet.
17. This seems to be a visual inference module used in the construction of Warforged. Seems to be an eye made of... Typically, they'll use small slivers of gemstones overlaid on top of each other. In the state that it's in now, you don't think that it has much value, maybe about a gold or so if you're to find the right seller, but it definitely is a material used in the creation of Warforged, or more than typically, the maintenance of Warforged.
Okay.
I want to reach down for the hand and give him a good fucking crisp dap.
Reach down. So you reach down, kind of grab the hand of it, and it's cold to the touch, even though like the sun's beating down. And you kind of grab it, and the hand squeezes back and begins to yank. Everybody roll for initiative.
Me too. Out of immersive. I totally forgot to check the fucking hunting traps when we woke up. It's like, fuck, man.
Let's set yous up on the map.
Oh, I have so much shit on the map.
Oh, let's set yous up on the map.
Does Alex need a new angle?
Little bit.
How'd Rook try to talk to the horse if he wasn't with us? I had to try.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Now you gotta make me think.
So then I am up there. Fuck it.
Oh, that's that easy?
Yeah.
Oh, I can just say fuck it. Well, that actually does beg an interesting question. Which is true? Did Rook talk to the horse? Or did Rook attempt to talk to the horse, or is he back there? Because it's one or the other.
That's not a me question. When I asked him to do that, I thought you were next to us. I didn't realize you were back there.
You didn't say anything, so that's why I'm trying to decide. It makes sense that you would be up there, but then you said you were back at the cart with Asan, but I didn't give you any extra information if you were to assume that you were back at the cart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I was just figuring if Hassan's back there.
Would you have stayed back, or would you have went up and left Asan alone?
Well, I figured I would have stayed with Turnip.
So you are back.
So
there.
I don't know if I would have just brought the cart up.
You guys were in the back.
The logic
so
that I had.
If you were to go up, you would need Asan and then Tuga to also go up, which they did not do.
Then I'm back.
Then you're back. So to assume he did not talk to the horse, and I also don't think that any talks with the horse changed anyone else's decisions. What we are looking at is a combat on this Chalkin Road. Off to the left, as you guys are proceeding, there is a large dune. Stuck halfway in and out of this dune is this horse, who's actually flipped upside down. Could you rotate him for me? Yes, the cat.
That way?
No, with his head sticking out instead. No. There you go. Now, directly next to this incapacitated horse with various warforged augments is a hand in which Kree has grabbed. Kree, this hand just has its grip on you. Directly behind you is your friend Levi, and off to Levi's right is Bentivania. Atop the dune in which this hand is sticking out of, Honto is keeping a watch, keeping an eye out, and far, far back in the distance, 360 feet away, is Rook.
Rook, just run back and get help, okay?
So, anyone roll over 20 for initiative? 15 to 20.
18.
16. What is your dexterity modifier, Honto?
Plus 3.
10 to 15?
10.
11.
To start off this combat, Honto, you see Kree get kind of yanked towards the dune as his hand is enclasped with this other hand. What do you do?
And the whole arm is sticking out?
Yeah, probably up to like midway through the top of the arm there.
Okay. So, I'm going to, like, dash down the dune. I have more than enough movement to do it, so, yeah, you can just move me into it. And I'm going to go right for, well, no, on a beeline towards Kree. And I want to use Flurry of Blows, like, you know, max melee hits, like, on the arm, trying to get Kree to free up, you know, get that link to free up.
Okay, so I would say that one, it would be, you would have disadvantage because it's a smaller target and technically, you know, blah blah blah, but then you would also have advantage because it's technically grappled at this point with its hands enclasped, with Kree, so you're just gonna roll straight.
Cool.
So go ahead and roll.
And like I, well, so first time using ki.
Yes.
So let's.
How many ki points you got, dog?
I have 2 total.
Okay.
My ki save DC is 12.
Okay.
So right now I'm going to use Flurry of Blows.
Okay.
Well, it's okay. So it's after taking an action. Spend. So can I do 3 max or 4 max?
You can do action to attack. This is strictly for talking unarmed. Action to attack. Bonus action to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the wording on Flurry of Blows? Is it 2 extra or 1 extra?
After taking an action on your turn, spend 1 point to make 2 unarmed strikes.
So it's 4
as
total.
A bonus.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
2 is
like,
a total. Or two,
so
is,
it
2 is a bonus.
Three?
It's 3.
That's what I thought.
It is 3.
Because it's the bonus action. I'll have to look into it, see what people...
I believe it's 3.
It seems like it's 3.
Yeah. So go ahead and make 3 attacks, mark off 1 key.
And then, what's the save? How does, is it that
when you have key abilities that use that save.
Oh, okay.
Like stunning
it's never
strike.
Like someone else rolling to see.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing dex, because I'm going to claw.
Okay, gotcha.
So... 16, 15, and 22.
22 hits.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, wait. I didn't add my proficiency. Right? Yeah, I gotta add proficiency. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We haven't done combat.
No. I know the game of sneaking to find out the AC. I know.
My proficiency is +2 for each of them, so add 2 on each of them.
So what was it?
So each of them is +5. So 18.
Hit.
17.
Hit.
And then the one was, so 20, whatever.
you found out the AC. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so 2 hits. So 2d6. And each one, yeah. Balance.
that's crazy.
9, 4, so 13.
13 points of damage?
Yes.
Alright, so describe to me how you do this hit.
Yeah, so like I said, turn around just lunging towards that linkage, and I am just lasered in on I guess what would be his elbow area, and I'm just overhand down, clawing right, left, and then once I get another step in right again. Just to try and weaken this link for a moment. And maybe in that moment while I'm going by, kind of just run into Kree just to
mm-hmm.
get more force going to, mm-hmm. to break it up.
Pressing up close against him, and Kree, you can actually see some sparks come off as Honto's claws dig into this metal and just make this sharp pinging sound. End of your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. We will go to Bentevenia, who is going to choose not to unsheathe his sword, but instead try to grab Kree and pull him away from this. Successfully. Bentevenia puts his hand on your shoulder and just kind of yanks you back, and the grip breaks and the hand comes free. You're not technically grappled at this point, but you haven't moved at all. That's going to be his action. But I think he can make 5-foot step backwards. He's going to turn back towards the caravan and just start waving his hands to try to get Asan's attention. That's the end of his turn. We go to Kree. This hand now just kind of limply reaching out of the dunes.
yeah, now that I'm free, I want to step back and I want to use my Hexblade's Curse on this hand. So as my bonus action, and I want to target this Warforged hand or creature, whatever it is.
Sure.
And I want to just pull my sword up two-handed and not swing at the arm. Swing at the arm. As my action, yeah, that's it.
Okay, go ahead. With disadvantage. Because it is a smaller target now.
Twenty-two.
With disadvantage?
17 and 16.
Nasty. Damn. Bitch. That hits. Roll damage.
Thirteen damage.
The arm comes off.
Hmm.
And now there's just this nub that's now sticking out of the sand. End of your turn?
Yeah.
Okay. This nub comes forward as the creature that is attached to this arm pushes its way through the sand, almost like a waterfall, now falling on him, standing up, making itself upright, and just pushing through. The sand just kind of drifts down. You can see it. A warforged that you may have seen before, but it's got this big, red, glowing energy in its chest, and its eyes are red. It just kind of, like, looks for a second before it, like, clenches and boom, sends out this shockwave of energy out from its core in its chest. I need everybody to roll a strength saving throw.
Me too.
No, not you, 360 feet away, unfortunately.
Nat 1.
6.
15.
Oh, I didn't roll for Pennsylvania. Everybody fails.
Fuck.
In this moment, you feel this energy all course through you, and you are repelled backwards 30 feet away from this creature. Mike Finn lovingly pointed to the horse and wanted to know if it had to make it. Does it? Let me think. It's a 30-foot cone. Yeah, it would be caught in it. Take a guess what number I'm looking down at for the strength saving throw of a dead horse.
Nat 20?
Nat 20. Right there. I shouldn't have even rolled it. It should have been an automatic fail.
Dead weight.
Tell you what, the horse rolls over on its other side.
Damn.
Which may actually be helpful, because now Asan may be able to see what this horse is all about. That is the end of its turn, as it's just kind of standing there menacingly in this, like, Terminator stance. You've all been knocked back 30 feet away from this creature, but you haven't been knocked prone. Just kind of get shot backwards. That's the end of its turn. Rook, I need you to roll perception to see if you even see what's going on. Something's going on, but you can hear Asan. It looks like they're fighting something. You take the mule?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna
fucking right.
I'm gonna, I don't know what the speed of a mule is. I'm gonna say it's 40. So with action and bonus action, I'm going to let you go 80 feet every turn. So that counter that's next to you that says
far away,
360, take it down by 80 every single time he's riding this mule.
It's got a mark.
Riding turnip. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Keep that up there.
I'm riding this one.
Where you have been knocked into, the sand around you begins to vibrate and shift as you see three sets of hands rise out of the sand. Levi, you're up.
Gonna walk.
Shit.
Did you say three sets of hands?
Three sets of hands, six hands total.
It's not
surrounding you.
I wouldn't think it'd be an attack of opportunity if I ran between these two sets of hands here.
I would say they're properly restrained.
Okay. Then, honestly, I'm moving back further away from the original scene, but away from the grasp of these new three hands.
Okay.
5, 10, 15, 20.
Full complement of movement.
20 for now, and then I want to take a shot, a firebolt shot, with my shell that I have out again, at the original creature who came from the sand and just knocked us back.
Okay, go ahead and roll to attack.
Eight
misses. Take a shot and it goes wide and embeds itself in the dune, and you see sparks of probably at this point now molten sand kind of just squirt out.
Then take the rest of my movement to back away from
okay.
these guys. The horse hasn't reanimated or anything that I've seen.
No, you haven't seen that. No.
Okay. End of my turn.
Honto, you're up.
Okay. At the rate they're coming out, do I feel like if I engage with them in melee that they're actively gonna like can I disengage from the hands? You know what I mean?
You feel like, so I answered that question with him.
Sorry.
But it was a different version of that question. They can't take attacks of opportunity. They're properly restrained.
Okay, okay. All right, then I want to. This. 5, 10. I'm gonna take 2 strikes. Like I'm kind of on all fours while I'm running by, just like 2 swipes at the set of hands.
So heading north from the scene and just trying to take a swipe at the hands.
Yeah, and I'm gonna move.
Continue the rest of your complement of movement, and you're taking 2 attacks?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and roll them at disadvantage, because they're smaller targets.
So that's the first one is 15.
It's a hit.
Second one, 10.
That is a hit as well.
Okay. 10 total damage.
10 total damage. You're able to knock one of the hands off and like cut directly through it. This spark of like this arcing spark of electricity kind of just shoots out and grounds itself in the sand. End of your turn after you move away from the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are going to go over to Bentivania, who is going to unsheathe his sword and close the distance between himself and the original creature that came out of the dunes. And engage it. He is going to make an attack as he has his sword in his hands. And he's going to connect. See Bentivania kind of take one hard swing end over end and embed it into this metal warforged creature and yank it out. It's the end of his turn where you go to Kree.
I also would like to approach the warforged that Bentivania is at.
Okay. With your full complement of...
If I have enough movement.
You should. I think you can get into melee with it.
You want to... You're getting into melee range with it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 25.
Okay. I want to cast Hex on this Warforged.
Okay.
So I get to choose an ability that it will have disadvantage on. I want to choose Strength.
Strength saving throws?
Strength checks.
Just strength checks in general?
No, it does not affect attack rolls or saving throws, which is fine.
Okay, but is that an action?
That is a bonus action.
Okay.
That is one of my 2 spell slots.
Okay.
So I will just attack two-handed with my longsword then.
Okay, go ahead and roll to attack.
7.
7 is a miss. You try to kind of steady yourself as you scutter up and close the distance and kind of off balance, and your feet aren't properly set as the blade digs into the chalk road below and chips it.
That's it. I end my turn.
Okay. End of its turn, we go to the original creature, who is going to try to take a swipe at Kree. It's going to be an 18 to hit.
Yes, that hits.
Okay. You are going to suffer... You're going to suffer 9 points of damage.
Jesus.
As okay. this other hand, his left hand now, just kind of reaches out and claws up you, and his eyes are still this beady red color, his core, this magical, mystic energy just kind of circulating at his chest, still this red color. That is the end of its turn, though. We go to Rook.
Are these the combat lights?
Another 80?
80 feet.
Is this the combat music?
Hi-ho, silver away. I think it's creepy. That's right. Right. I kind of like the creepy of it. End of your turn. The remaining creatures, one of which does not come back up. Far away, 30 feet away from Kree, Bentivania, and the original creature, come up out of the sand.
God, that was a solid, dude. Come on.
It's giving him a starting point.
That the 200s are there.
And they are going to use their full complement of movement to engage with Levi and Honto that are ways away from them.
I'm sorry, the third guy, is he...
Did not come up.
Is it moving or anything? Or
nope, doesn't seem to be.
Okay.
Now, one of the creatures comes face to face with Levi. It is going to try to make a swipe at you, Levi. But that's going to be a 7 to hit. Which I'm imagining is a miss.
That is a miss.
It is going to end its turn. However, the one in front of Honto... And let me describe these creatures. The one in front of Honto looks very similar to that first creature that you guys interacted with. Red glowing eyes. The other one does not have that glow about him. It just looks like a warforged. But just kind of like... Not broken, but damaged in some way. However, the one in front of Honto looks... Very scary. Red glowing eyes, perfect condition, metal arms, metal face, no expression. It's going to clench and fire a beam of energy out of its chest aimed at you. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw for me.
22.
That is a success, so you are going to take half damage. So it's 20 total, you're going to take half, you're going to take 10. It's 2 9s on a d10.
Beautiful. Good thing I took half damage. Would have been out.
Lightning, this electrical current surges through you from your feet up through the back of your neck. Your hair and fur stands up on edge as this red beam of energy pierces through you, and you can feel the burns, almost smell the singe of your own fur. That's the end of both of their turns. We're going to go to Levi. This creature right in front of you tried to take a swipe and missed. It looks damaged. It looks like part of its arm is only connected by a thin spool of wire.
All right. So it's a ranged spell attack that I want to do. So I guess he's in 5 feet. So I'm going to take the ranged spell attack at the guy that just attacked Honto instead.
Okay. Looking off to your left, you see decent footage and separation between Honto and this creature.
Yeah, Firebolt for this guy.
Go ahead.
19.
That's a hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
6.
6 points of damage as this fire laps up the side of him, and you can see it singeing some of the internals on this warforged, who doesn't shift his focus off of Honto. End of your turn.
Yeah. pass. Yeah, I'm at this point, since he's out of the sand, I can't just disengage freely from the guy in front of me, correct?
No.
Okay. Yes.
Unless you wanted to risk an attack of opportunity.
Nope. That's the end of my turn.
Good. Honto.
I'm going to...
Fuck. Break the table.
I'm going to run up 10.
Fuck him up.
I'm gonna go one at a time here. Take, swipes.
Okay.
Hold on, let me... Yeah, okay. First, I'm gonna take the action, then a bonus action. Yeah.
Okay. Peeling off and going against the creature that is engaged with Levi.
9.
9 hits.
4, 5 damage.
5 points of damage. Your swipe goes and kind of claws across and gets caught in like a plate that's attached to him and just kind of rips off and it fumbles into the sand below, but he's still standing.
Alright, I'm going to swipe at him again.
Go ahead.
Bonus action. 15.
That's a hit.
9.
One more swipe, this one kind of arced upwards, and you kind of catch in some mechanisms underneath his chin, rip up, and whoosh, his head flies off, lands in the sand below, and he falls to his knees unmoving.
Okay, so at that point, so I used 10 feet of movement, so I'm going to then go 20, 30, 40.
Clearing off, stepping away from Honto and putting more distance, or... stepping away from Levi and putting more distance between you and the two remaining enemy combatants who seem stronger than the other two that have been put down. End of your turn, we go to Bentivenia, who is going to, with his sword still in hand, try to take a swipe at this creature in front of himself and Crete. Unfortunately, that misses. He kind of goes wide and it, you know, rocks against the side of this creature's natural warforged armor. He is going to... He's going to just stand there. No. He's going to move towards the dune and try to step up the dune, moving at half speed since it's going to be difficult terrain, and flank with Kree instead. Could you please reach? Taking a 10-foot movement forward, climbing up the dune, maybe about 3 or 4 feet up above this creature with his back against the dune. Bentivenia is now flanking with Kree, and it is Kree's turn.
Does advantage stack?
No.
For you?
Nope.
Okay. So would you say I have advantage in this flanking scenario?
On a melee attack, yeah.
Okay. I want to cast Booming Blade and swing to attack the Warforged.
Go ahead and do so with advantage.
Nat 19, and because I'm using Hexblade's Curse, that's a crit.
You are a named character.
And he has... Oh, shit!
Critical hit cards. Jesus. Critical hit cards. God. Dun, 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 dun. So instead of me sticking out... you know, this pile of critical hit cards and having you pick one, I'm going to start, like, fanning through them, and you tell me stop. I just shuffled them, so I'm going to start fanning through them. You tell me when to stop. Ready? I'm going to start now.
Yep. Stop.
A life-threatening critical hit.
Fuck.
Open wound. For the next 1d8 rounds, you must make a DC 16 constitution saving throw when attempting to move 5 feet or more. On a failed save, you take 1d8 damage. Before you roll damage, whatever this attack does cuts up in a way where now you see this energy on its chest, its core, kind of start to seep out and fall down the side of it, almost as if it's like a coalescing red fog that's just kind of now falling down the side of its body. But go ahead and roll damage for me, just straight regular damage.
15.
Although it's a cool crit, that does kill it. So describe what this hit looks like to everybody else.
Like a just a quick fucking like samurai swing upward, just boom, right up like through the center of this like red beating, like warforged heart
and
of sorts.
Just like an old timey samurai movie, a moment, two beats pass before this spew of this red energy coalescing, this fog just exhausts out as if it was gas trapped in a coffee can that just had the lid taken off of it, and the Warforged falls to its knees, unmoving and dead. End of your turn, or do you want to do anything else?
So, with Hexblade's curse, if the cursed creature dies, I'm asking you, because it's a Warforged, I can gain HP equal to my Warlock level plus my Charisma modifier. Would that apply for...
The wording just says, like if the creature? What's the question here? Is it whether or not it has a soul? Does it need to be a living creature? Would this affect constructs?
Starting at level 1, you can place a baleful curse on someone.
Yeah, he's somebody.
Sweet. Okay. That's all I need. Okay, cool. So I'm going to gain 6 HP.
Okay. End of your turn.
All right, that's it. Yep.
Okay. Rock.
80 feet.
140. Ah, you're getting there, man.
Yo.
End of your turn, we go to the last remaining Warforged. Could somebody please topple that mini between Bentivenia and Kree?
Toppled, bitch.
It is going to turn to the left, almost like pivoting, and you can see Levi locks eyes with you, these red glowing eyes, this red core coalescing, just the same as the other one, and it is going to close the distance and engage you in melee. Could you please move my enemy mini that's trying to kill you close to you?
Of course. Is he this way or is he that way? Which way does he want to be on me?
Diagonal.
Okay.
Pause.
And it is going to try to take a swipe at you.
Well, let's see what other things it's got in its toolbox real right quick. Right.
Now we're good.
Ah. I forgot something.
Fuck you.
Well, nah, hold on. I might lift the curtain later to see. Okay, no, it's not even going to matter. Okay. It's going to take a swipe at you. That is going to be a 10 to hit.
No, does not hit.
Okay. His attack goes wide, but you can see these cold, dead, red eyes staring at you. That's the end of its turn. And Levi, you're up.
Engage with me. I'm not going to take a disengage action. I'm just going to take the
disadvantage
on another fireball.
Okay.
16.
That's a miss.
No, that I'm not going to do anything else. It's going to be the end of my turn.
Moving quickly, trying to create some space between you and this creature, but it's not enough as this fireball digs into the dirt right at its feet. End of your turn, we go to the top of the round, Hunt 2.
Alright, I'm going to run around him to get... flanking. and then I'm going to use Flurry of Blows, go for 3 swipes.
Go ahead.
These are all with advantage.
Stepping up, closing the distance as originally you were trying to maintain your distance from it, closing and getting into a flanking position with Levi.
Nineteen, and eighteen, raw. Hit. Seven plus 9. 18.
Total?
Yes.
Dang.
3 fell swipes, crossing across this creature. Sparks fly, but it is still standing. We're going to go to Bentivania, who is going to step off of the dune, just at first to stand next to Kree.
Could you please move Bentivania down the dune to step next to Kree? So he is taking a free action to check to see if Kree is in need of medical attention, and he succeeded. Kree, what do you look like? Are you hurt at all?
From a scale of 1 to 23. No, I'm just fucking I'm fine. If he checks me, I'm like, oh, just fucking go.
Yeah, and he kind of listens to that, and he's going to move the rest of his movement, which is going to be an additional 20 feet towards the action. Still a ways away. But Kree, you're up.
Am I able to approach the remaining Warforged? Is there enough movement?
To get melee with it? I don't believe so.
No. You can get to, like, 15 feet away.
15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to just get in the line of sight. I'll get 15 feet to the Warforged, Mike Finn, if you can move me.
Do you want a complete line of sight? Is this a complete line of sight if he's here?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you put your finger over which one the Warforged is? That guy. Okay.
You're here.
Yeah, I'll cast Eldritch Blast on that bitch. But first, I want to transfer my hex to this Warforged.
Okay. Yep.
And I want to choose Strength as the disadvantage ability, and then I'll cast Eldritch Blast.
Is that your second spell slot?
Eldritch Blast is...
No, Hex.
If your original target drops to zero before the spell ends, you can use a bonus action.
Okay, cool. So, I gotcha. Go ahead and roll for Eldritch Blast.
Okay.
That's so cool, man. I love Warlocks.
It's been fun. Twelve
to hit. That's gonna be a miss.
Okay.
Kind of ricochets wide, curves a little bit unexpectedly. End of your turn.
Yeah.
Wook.
80 feet. 60 feet away.
We're in double digits.
Close.
We are going to go to the second Warforged, the only remaining Warforged.
Ooh, doggy.
Ooh, that's not great.
For him.
Turning directly around, it seems as though three eligible creatures fall into a 30-foot line in which he is going to fire another blast of this energy. You see him turn his gaze off of Levi, turn directly around, clench his body, and fire another beam of red electrical energy. It is going to hit Honto, Kree, and Bentivania. I need all of you guys who I named, other than Bentivania, I'll roll for him, to roll a dexterity saving throw for me.
23.
19.
Bentivania rolled a 21. Honto and Kree, you guys are going to take half damage. Oh my god. This thing can't stop. Okay, not too bad. You guys are going to take 7 points of lightning damage as this electrical current rockets through you. Bentivania, for a moment, you actually can see the sparks of energy go from the bottom of his greaves all the way up to the top of his helmet, arc out and ground itself into the sand below. That's the end of its turn, and we are going to go to Levi.
Since he turned his back to me,
There's no facing in Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. I apologize.
All right. You know I do want to disengage.
Take the disengage action?
Yeah. Okay. No, not take the disengage action. Take the attack of opportunity and move 5 feet.
Okay.
More than that. Yeah, I want to try to move out of his range.
Okay. So it's going to take an attack of opportunity at you. 13 to
No,
hit.
It misses.
Okay. You're able to slide
Five,
your way
ten,
out.
15, 20 here.
As it kind of takes this swipe at you, you see its arm just like fall off. Like the wire is connecting it, snap, and it embeds itself in the dirt behind you.
Shit. Okay, yeah. Another firebolt.
Go ahead.
Damn. No, it's only 9.
Not gonna do it. End of your turn.
10. Yeah, just disengage a little bit more. Get 30 feet between us.
Okay. Back to the top of the round. Honto, you are up.
I'm gonna take 2 swipes at him.
Go ahead. Roll to attack.
One of them definitely doesn't hit. One of them's a 19.
That's a hit.
Eight
points of damage. Your first swipe kind of goes wide. You're able to dig your feet into the ground, find this balance for a moment, and it just kind of hangs for this second, where you can feel inside yourself this yellow radiant energy just kind of coalesce, work its way through your arteries, up your arm, out to your claw, as this swipe goes across the creature's chest, and the light from its eyes fade, and its knees buckle, and it falls to the ground, motionless. And we are out of combat.
Well, I pull up late. Late to the party.
Rook and Turnip cresting over the edge of the chalk road to see a scene before them of 4 Warforged decimated and torn apart. Ventivania catching his breath and the rest of you looking on, checking your wounds. But that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Far away.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.